anniversary that he and his wife celebrated early in their marriage. And his boss had encouraged Harriet to take his wife to a fancy restaurant. But Harriet objected. It's going to cost him too much. But his boss insisted, so he finally said, okay, I'll do it. So he left with his wife to go to this nice restaurant, and on the way he decided to stop at a farmer's house. And James was a young veterinarian. And this farmer had a horse that needed to be examined, so he decided to make a stop, and so he stopped and examined the horse. And unbeknown to him, when he was examining the horse, the checkbook he had in his back pocket slipped out and fell into the mud. But he didn't know that. So he got back into the car, and they made their way to the restaurant. And they had a wonderful meal, a delightful meal. It was over with, and he reached back to pull out his checkbook, and it was gone. Ever had that happen to you? Well, then he begins to make all kinds of, tries to make arrangements with the restaurant owner as to how he could pay for his meal or reimburse him for it or whatever. And the owner said, well, it's no problem. So it's all been taken care of. Your meal has been paid in full. And unbeknown to James, his boss had come by and paid for the meal. Been paid in full. Isn't that wonderful? We like things when they're paid in full. And I'm not the one that had to pay for it. Isn't that what God has done for us? He paid it in full. And Jesus' words from the cross, it is finished. And in those words, we could say, Jesus said, it's paid in full. Whoever comes to me in faith, for that person, it's paid in full. Nothing is owed. And so this morning, I want us to celebrate the provision of God and the display of His grace in bringing the lives of we who are separated from God back into a relationship with God with the assurance from the cross, it's been paid in full. You owe nothing. We come to Him in faith, believing, trusting, and receiving the benefits. This morning I would like for us to think for a moment about crossing the bridge and just reflect upon what it is that Christ has done for us. The journey across the bridge begins with, first of all, needing to understand our need to cross the bridge. We need to understand that we need to cross that bridge. There's some verses of Scripture I want to share with you this morning, taken from Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6. It says, there is none righteous, not even one. Pretty clear, isn't it? There is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where we start. That's where we stand at the bridge and we understand and we come to understand that we need to cross that bridge. And secondly, we need to understand that there is good news. There is very good news. And there again from the Scriptures in John chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He made him who knew no sin. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God in him. John 14 and verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we need to understand that the bridge is nothing other than the cross of Christ. The bridge is a cross. And we need to walk across that cross. Thirdly, we need to understand that we need to respond to God's tapping on our shoulder. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Truly, truly, the Bible says, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. He who hears my word and believes. We hear and I believe. I respond to God's tapping on my shoulder, on my heart. Romans 10, it says, Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's simple. Very simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that person will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the provision. That's how we walk across the bridge. And then finally, we need to realize that our assurance is in the promise of God, that in Christ we are a new creation. Now I'm going to share some great verses that have been my assurance verses throughout my spiritual walk with the Lord. It's taken from 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and following. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So clear. You know, it's not dependent on me. My assurance of salvation is not dependent on me or what I can do to try to gain that assurance. It's dependent on what He's done for me. And if the Son lives in my life, if Jesus lives in me, then I'm His child. If He doesn't live in me, then I'm not His child. It's as simple as that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's our assurance. That's when we're on the other side of the bridge. We look back and we give God praise for His saving grace. To cross that bridge puts us in a position of being the receiver of the indescribable blessings of God. And when you think of the blessings of God, I encourage you to remember one child's description of an elevator. And as this child got into an elevator and described this elevator, he said, It's nothing but a box, and upstairs comes down. And isn't that right? In our salvation, heaven comes down and becomes a part of my life. That's what it means to be a child of God. And I just want you to celebrate today that we have been blessed indescribably by God through His saving grace. We are blessed people, that God has chosen us to be His children. Look at verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 3 begins a long sentence. If you were to write a paper and your teacher would read a sentence as long as what the Apostle Paul writes here, she would mark it all up in red. But this is one sentence beginning with verse 3 all the way through verse 14 is one sentence in which Paul is describing all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And we're going to look at these in the next number of Sundays. And looking at the different spiritual blessings that God has so richly blessed us with. And all we can say as we read that, and so we can say, wow. It's incredible what God has done in bringing us into His family as His children. He has indeed blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The story is told in West Texas that there's a famous oil field known as Yates Pool. And during the Depression, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man by the name of Yates. He was not able to make enough money on his ranching operation to pay the principal and the interest on his ranch. And so he is in danger of losing it. He barely was able to clothe and feed his family. One day, an individual came to his ranch and announced to him that they believed that underneath the ground that he owned, they might find oil. And he asked if he could have the permission to dig a test well. Yates signed the lease, and they came and dug a test well. And at 1,115 feet, they struck oil. They hit a pool that was larger than any pool they'd ever hit before. An enormous amount of oil. A massive reservoir underneath the land that Yates almost lost because he couldn't make the payments. And now he was a wealthy man. Now, why was he not wealthy before that? You know, the day he purchased the land, he received the oil and the mineral rights. Yet he was living in poverty. What was the problem? Well, he didn't know the oil was there. He owned it, but he did not possess it. For a lot of us as Christians, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And yet, so often we don't live like it. We don't live like it. We don't celebrate like it. We don't sing like it in church. We don't worship like it. I don't claim it. But we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Think about it. Reflect on it. We don't realize how much God has given to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in a relationship with Christ are focused on worship. And Paul begins in that kind of a spirit as he opens this sentence. When he just rejoices, he said, blessed. Blessed be the God and Father. The realization of what God has done in your life. He's lifted the weight. He's lifted the burden of guilt and sin from off of your back. He's replaced despair with hope, sorrow with joy, death with life, bondage with freedom. Think about that. What He has given to you. Paul focuses on praise. Give God praise. In Acts chapter 15, or 16, verse 25, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they were in stocks and chains. What would you do if you were in prison? If someone came and arrested you for being outspoken about your faith, or if someone came into this particular building, the church, and arrested us for gathering in a public setting for worship and put us into prison, what would be our spirits? Would we be discouraged and despondent and sad and angry because somebody did this to us? Or would we rejoice? Paul and Silas in Acts 16 prayed and sang. Sang praises to God, and all the rest of the prisoners in the jailhouse heard their voices of praise to God. And the jailer heard it. And the jailer came down and inquired and became a believer. What a story. What a blessing. Think in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. These words. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was myriad of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Notice that. The angels, myriads upon myriads, thousands upon thousands of angels surrounding the throne and saying, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. All praise. And heaven is going to ring with the praises of the one who sits on the throne. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them. And I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Someday, you and I are going to join that crowd around the throne. And we're going to be participants in that expression of praise. And I think today becomes an opportunity for us to rehearse for that time. Don't you think? Don't you think today is rehearsal time? And every time we meet in this kind of a gathering becomes an opportunity to rehearse for the time when God's going to call us to Himself and I'm going to become a part of that great choir that stands around the throne singing praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my Lord. We are to bless Him because He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You know, what does our worship reflect about our understanding as to what we receive from our Heavenly Father? As we sang together this morning, what does our worship reflect? Are we enthusiastic about receiving every spiritual blessing from Christ? So often my worship centers around what my experience is. What am I receiving out of it? What am I getting from it? What is my attitude today? Maybe I'm not feeling that fantastic today. Maybe I'm not that excited today. But is my worship about me? It shouldn't be, should it? It's all about Him, isn't it? The one who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. And if I really understand the blessings He's given to me, then my worship will reflect that. Look at verse 4 for a moment. And we'll look at this verse next Sunday. But it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you realize that you're chosen of God? Before the foundation of the world? Before the world was created, God chose you to be one of His children here today. God was a part of that. Again, in verse 3, so notice not only have we been blessed with every spiritual blessing, we've been fully provided for. We have been fully provided for. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We need to realize, first of all, that the source of these blessings is the one and only one source. Jesus. He's the one that's blessed me. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one. Let's notice for a moment what He's all done for us. If you look at verse 6, as we list some things, He's accepted us with an acceptance that can never be questioned. In verse 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. He's accepted us. He's given us an inheritance that can never be lost. If you just take your Bibles and turn with me to some passages of Scripture, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's read some of these verses that give us these blessings and these promises. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You have an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. That's better than any inheritance you get here, isn't it? That's what he's reserved for you. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll notice that he's given us a deliverance that can never be excelled. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. He's promised us a deliverance. There's a grace that can never be limited. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. For my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for us. There's a hope that can never be disappointed in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. The writer of Hebrews says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. We have a hope that can never be withdrawn. It's eternal. Some other things. We have a joy that can never be diminished. If you look at John chapter 5 and verse 11, we have a nearness to God that can never be reversed. He's called us to come near to Him, and that can never be changed. We have a peace that can never be disturbed. In John chapter 14, verse 27, a peace that God promises to us, that Jesus says He gives to us. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we quoted this earlier, that God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God. We have a salvation that can never be canceled. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And I'll turn to that to read from that, the last text. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. To all those who obey Him, He's given to us an eternal salvation. Blessings. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter tells us that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Everything. Nothing lacking. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read, for in Him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. You have been made complete. Simply says that I don't have to do anything to become complete in Christ. He's done it all for me. He's done it all. Thirdly, to be saved means that we are fitted for heaven on earth. God has given us everything we need. everything we need. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. The Bible says that we are strangers and aliens within this world. I don't belong here. But He has given me everything I need to live in a way in which He is reflected in my life and through my life in this world in which I live as a stranger and an alien. Too many of us live in this world like we belong here. But I don't belong here. I belong in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. But God has placed me here as a sojourner to represent Him. And He's given me everything I need in order to live on this earth in a way that He can reflect Himself through me to others that I relate with. We are blessed with heavenly spiritual blessings to enable us to live our heavenly life here on earth at this present time. We've received Christ's nature within us, and He wants to develop that nature. He wants to develop the character that represents Him in this life. That's what He's in the process of doing. He's in the process of molding and shaping and adjusting us to reflect His nature, His character, that others might see that in us. That's why we're here. So to be a Christian, to be a child of God, means that I am focused on worship, first of all. I'm focused on worship. Secondly, it means that I'm fully provided for. God has given me everything that I need. And thirdly, it means that I'm fitted for heaven on earth. I am equipped with all I need to represent Him in this life. That's the blessings that He's given to me. So then, some questions that we need to consider this morning. Is our understanding of our relationship with Christ reflected in our worship? Is my understanding of my relationship with Christ reflected in the way I worship? Is my worship dynamic or is it passive? You know, worship shouldn't be a passive experience. You know, my Christian life shouldn't be passive. It's not where I just sit back and say, oh, well, thank God I'm a believer. No, thank God I'm a believer. Thank God that I've been redeemed by the grace of God. Thank God that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I praise Him for all that He's given me. My worship should reflect that dynamic quality of my walk and my relationship with Christ. Secondly, we need to realize that God has given to each of us everything we need for life and godliness. I have everything I need to live this life on this earth, with the people I relate to, in a way that honors God. Do you believe that? Do we live like that? I have everything I need God has given me everything I need to live on this earth the way He wants me to live, for His glory and for His praise. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because it never is. But He's given me all the resources I need to live successfully for Him. And God has placed me on this earth to represent Him. In my life, I become a little bit of heaven on earth. I'm a little bit of heaven on earth. I'm a stranger and alien here, because my citizenship is there. I belong in heaven, but God's put me here to be His presence, indwelt by His Spirit upon this earth. That's my purpose. Once again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. I need to get to the right chapter, the right book. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I just encourage you to take that verse and allow the Spirit of God to impress it on your mind, to continue to teach you what it is that He has given to us for His glory, for His praise.